Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our continuing four podcasts simultaneously night. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org below me. John Tytel to my side. David Griggs is over there, something.
I'm right here.
If you're here for the American preview show, you missed it. It's up there.
Yep.
If you're here for the Mountain West or the West Coast, you're too early. They're down there. If you're here for the Atlantic 10, though, you're in the right spot. If you're here for any other conference, then way, way up there, season preview tab. this is the Atlantic 10 preview show. We're going to be talking about anything and everything about what's going to be happening in a fascinating Atlantic 10 conference that may have just taken a bit of a dip preseason with some injuries. But I want to start off, and John, let me start off with you, with a team that I absolutely love heading into this season, and that's Mark Schmidt's Bonnies.
Yeah.
They are going to be fantastic. They got a ton of guys coming back, including, I think, the best big man, if not player, in the conference in Osun Osunayi, the conference reigning defensive player of the year and conference tournament MVP. He's got a wingspan of 7'8". That's not good for college. That's good for the NBA and bigger than most wingspans in the NBA. He had 15 points in the loss to LSU last March. They also bring back a ton of seniors in the backcourt. Kyle Lofton, Dominic Welch, Jalen Attaway, Jaron Holmes. Mark Schmidt's been there 15 years. He's the defending conference coach of the year. This is their year to make the leap from good to great.
I love that comment there of great. Rocco, I'm looking at a protected seed type of team here from what, on paper at least.
Protected seed. Okay. Protected,
well, like a four seed. Not saying a one seed. I'm saying like a four seed.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's interesting. I actually did a little research the last 5 8-10 champs. Research.
Why would you ever do research?
Yeah, just add some spice to the show.
Okay.
Yeah. 2020 Dayton, obviously an anomaly for this league, would have been a likely one seed if we got to that selection Sunday. But outside of that, last year's Bonnies won the double. They did a regular season championship, won the tournament championship, still only got a 9 seed. 2019 VCU an 8, 2018 URI a 7. 2017 Dayton a 7. So typical A-10 year, you're looking at a 7-9 seed. The Bonnies lose their entire bench this year. All 5 starters back, as John said. But I don't see how it's a huge jump to like a 4 seed personally.
Okay.
I think they should be the favorite. I do think they'll win this league. But they're going to have to do something big in the non-conference. They got a shot against UConn. They're in the Charleston Classic. They're going to have to really show up in those tournaments to move the needle.
I realize that this isn't quite the same thing, Rocco, but I'd kind of like to respond to that with my own observation. I don't know how exactly this would translate into a seed, but I think, and you see this again in what you would call the regular multi-bid leagues that we're talking about now, you see this a lot, to where there's one or two teams, in this case one, that's better than the rest of the league by quite a bit. And there's some decent teams that are left in the league, but nobody as good as the Bonnies. And I know that they're in the rankings now in the 20s. I think that's where they're starting out, which is 6-7 range, right in 6-7 seed range, excuse me, right what you're describing. But what can happen with a team like that is that they just almost move up by default because they're just winning and winning and winning and winning. And teams in stronger conferences might be playing each other and losing. Is this one of those teams like, you know, that San Diego State did and Nevada did the 1 year, and that by the end of the season, this St. Bonaventure team is ranked 6th or 7th? And if that's the case, then where do you put them? I realize that ranking does not always translate in the seed. I want to say Murray State was finished the season ranked 5th or 6th 1 year and got a 6th seed.
Got a 6th.
To your point, that could happen. But if the Bonnies are ranked that high, which is very plausible that they could be at the end of the year, do you really think they would not be a protected seed?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think nowadays, especially after what we saw last year, when it comes to seeds, it's all about the predictives. So yeah. If KenPom, if Sagarin, they're all saying they're top 10, they're probably going to be a protected seed, like regardless, because they'll stack rank that way. But just from an opportunity, you know, traditional bracketology concepts of scheduling, their big chances are UConn and Newark. They got Virginia Tech in the Hall of Fame shootout, Charleston Classic, which You know, they actually just played Boise in the first game. Then it's Clemson or Temple. A little disappointing for their semifinal if they beat Boise. And then the best possible team in the finals, like West Virginia, Marquette, Ole Miss, it's not that strong compared to what a typical Charleston tournament is. And then all their other tough games are home with Northern Iowa, solid. Buffalo, solid. Yeah. But it's not like they're going to go to an SEC place on the road, or they're going to go to a Big Ten place on the road. They unfortunately don't have those capabilities. You know, the ceilings like the UConn game, Virginia Tech, and maybe a Charleston game or two.
Anyway, let's move on beyond the bodies. And first of all, I want to take a moment here to welcome Matt Zukowski in as well. We'd have a fifth face showing up there on the screen. Sure. And Matt, why don't I just go right to you with the next team I want to discuss, which is Chris Mooney's Richmond team with four of these COVID seniors coming back, and Jake Gilliard, who could become the all-time steal record this season. How good is this Richmond team?
If they stay healthy, everyone comes together, they should be very good and probably in the tournament and maybe even wearing home uniforms in the first round. But that requires everyone to stay healthy and match and play like they did that opener last year against Kentucky, when everyone thought, hey, this is a top 20 level team. But fortunately, it didn't continue on that way due to injuries and other circumstances.
Yeah, and
Injuries, COVID pauses.
David, yeah. I mean, Nick Schrott is back now, but and the like. Yeah. I mean, can this Richmond team challenge the Bonnies for first place even?
No. Okay. I like them a lot. I know I like Richmond every year in the podcast. That's probably why you went to me. And they always never seem to be as good as I think they're going to be. But here I am, again, not learning my lesson. I do like them a lot. I like them as an NCAA tournament team. They're one of the two that I'm picking to get there, but they are not as good as the Bonnies. The Bonnies are protected seed good.
Okay. Beyond these two teams, John, as of about a week ago, I thought we had a third team that was right up there with them in St. Louis, but that may have changed with what's happened to Perkins.
Yeah, I'm actually going to cede the floor to Matt for a St. Louis update, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's the one I had. Is unfortunately, Perkins tore his ACL, so it's not just for a little while. That's the rest of the year. And that might be early curtains on Slew's tournament hopes.
Yeah. Well, John, so let me throw it out there. Any shot now without Perkins, who was their top player, and he's now gone for the year?
It's hard to think so. I mean, he scored 21 in the NIT loss to Mississippi State last year. He was the conference sixth man of the year in 2020. They still have plenty of talent in the backcourt with DeAndre Jones, Rashad Williams, Fred Thatch Jr., and I like Travis Ford, but it's losing too big a piece to contend with the Richmonds and the St. Bonnies of this league.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. It's really disappointing because I would have loved to have seen all three teams in the race there. Rocco, let me ask you this. If we're not going to count St. Louis, who else can contend to the top three or four spots in the league there?
Yeah, so my team would be Dayton is the direct benefactor of not only St. Louis injuries, but another team I'm sure that's coming soon. And I'm only saying Dayton because they've got, you know, I was talking on a couple of shows last week about these freshman to sophomore leaps that are pretty possible or even likely. So Mustafa Amzo last year was one of the best freshmen in the A-10. He's got that freshman to sophomore leap potential this year. You had Tumani Kamara, who I thought at Georgia last year really carried Georgia on his back. Even though they didn't win a lot of games, he kept things competitive. Double-double guy towards the end of the year. Now he's going to come to a little bit of a weaker league than the SEC. I think he's going to be awesome. And then Deron Holmes, their best recruit, is also a front court guy. So the front court is absolutely loaded. Might be the best front court besides St. Bonaventure in the league. Should be. Back court is where all the question marks are. So is an RJ Blakeney plus Elijah Weaver. Some of these guys have a lot of question marks. They're going to need somebody to step up in the backcourt, probably two people to step up in the backcourt to make it a complete team. But they're going to rebound the ball. They're going to give people matchup problems. And there's talent, a lot of talent. So I think Dayton should assume that third spot, but we'll see.
Rocco's going with Dayton as the third spot. Matt, do you have somebody else, or do you agree with him?
No, I like it. I was going to think about Dayton. Yeah.
Okay.
I know the Deron Holmes recruit personally because it looked at the end like he was going to Marquette. And all of a sudden, nope, he decided last minute, and I think probably wisely for him, given that the coach that recruited him is gone now, they decided to go with Dayton after all.
John, what about Rhode Island, maybe. You're bringing in Ishmael El-Amin from Ball State, who scored 16 points a game there. You got the Mitchell brothers down low, the twins. There's a little bit there, isn't there, even without Fats Russell?
You are correct. There's a little bit there. Okay. Unfortunately, there is not enough there. The loss of Fats is going to be a huge loss, ironically. David Cox seems like a solid coach. He was an assistant to John Thompson III at Georgetown, and I like El-Amin. I liked his dad more, though. And the schedule is manageable with a couple Big East teams. Well, one in Providence, and they have a couple of games in Daytona Beach. But I just don't think that I think they're a serious notch below some of the teams you already mentioned.
David, VCU was in the NCAA tournament last year. Should we be discussing them this season?
They made it. Unfortunately, they probably the biggest disappointment, the last great disappointment of what had been a year's worth of disappointments after disappointments. They didn't get the chance to play, as we as we all know. I definitely think they're worth paying attention to. If you're asking me to pick whether or not I think they'll get in, my answer is that they won't. But having said that, I think they got a chance. Well, they're one of those mid-level NIT teams that we talked about on the American show up there. If you want,
but I mean, Rocco, this season team's already being crushed by injuries.
Baldwin
and Watkins both.
Right, and McAllister. Right. So okay. Yeah. So three key injuries. There's a chance Baldwin gets back by February. You got to like the pedigree of the VCU program. They're gonna get the fans back. I mean, I don't know if any team in the league is going to benefit from that more than VCU. My old buddy Marcus Deshaun is coming over from UW. He's now going to have to start. The kid's got a ton of talent, but there's some nights he just doesn't show up. Maybe with Coach Rhodes being probably a better coach than what UW has, that could help him stay focused throughout the year. Curious to see how that plays out. Vince Williams, potential all A-10 guy. There's still some pieces there. Levi Stockard's still around. So, and I just think it's with Rhodes, whatever their record is in February, I think you can throw it out the window. They're probably going to be pretty tough by March and a tough out.
Yeah. Matt, you see anything in Davidson? We know Bob McKillop is a pretty darn good coach, but is there anything here where they can make a little noise in this conference?
Yeah. Unfortunately for Davidson, what I see is their best player now plays in Rupp Arena.
Yeah, that's about it. I'll tell you what. We're getting down to the dregs here of the conference, unfortunately. John, let me go back to you, though. I want to ask you about another team here. Kim English, the new head coach here at George Mason. John, you're on mute, though, so I don't have you. Let's see if we can get you back here.
Better have his team ready from day one, because I will be in Fairfax on November 12th to see my Penn Quakers in person for the first time in a couple of years. Can't wait. English has an amazing track record, played for Frank Haith and Mike Anderson, worked for Rick Barnes and Tad Boyle. This guy knows how to coach basketball. Patriots lose four starters from last year. They have not made the tournament since 2011. They do have a surprising amount of tournament experience from last year. Somehow two transfers, Deshaun Schwartz from Colorado. He played for Tad Boyle, who Kim English used to work for, and he scored 13 points in their loss to Florida State last March. They also bring in Devin Cooper. He had 21 for Moorhead when they lost to West Virginia in March.
And you got Devontae Gaines from Tennessee, also in the tournament last year, right? So, yeah, I think this George Mason team is probably a year or two away, but already what English is doing, I agree with John, pretty exciting stuff. He's certainly one of the up-and-comers in the industry, and this is a home run hire for George Mason, I think. And, if he sticks around 3-4 years, they're probably going to taste the tournament.
I'd say absolutely one for the future, because he has a commitment from a top 100 kid nationally in Justin Fernandez.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's just not the level of kid Mason's got it in. I don't even think they're getting those level of kids under Larrañaga.
Exactly. Yep.
David, I thought there was a couple coaches here that I really would have thought were going to start building programs in this conference. Matt McCall at UMass, Keith Dambro at Duquesne. I'm not seeing much from either one of them this year. Are you?
Not this year. Keith Dambright had been incrementally improving Duquesne. Now, we have to put into context what that means. They were around 250-ish in the Ken Palms and Power rankings, and he had them into the hundreds and even top 100 the last couple years. I want to say they were in the 120s last year and the 90s before that. That is a lot better, but it still isn't to the point to where you would look at them and say, man, that team's really getting good. And I don't think that progressive improvement will improve this year. They're kind of in a reset mode. I think they had a little bit of a roster overhaul, but he is making them better. But is he making them, you know, better to the point to where you have faith that they're going to get there someday to where they're either an NIT or NCAA tournament team? I don't know.
I don't know either. John, I want to ask you about three teams quickly at you. You've got some Philly ties. I know we got St. Joe's LaSalle we haven't discussed. Also, George Washington in your backyard there. Anything to watch at any of those three teams this season?
For GW, they do have a nice transfer from LSU and James Bishop, who was good last year. He might make the leap and be a first-team all-conference player this year. Unfortunately, the cupboard's pretty bare, so if you're playing GW, I highly recommend triple-teaming James Bishop.
Not looking for much out of LaSalle. St. Joe's, Taylor Funk is going to be big. It's going to score a ton of points. He may even lead the league in scoring, honestly. He scored a 17.4 last year, but I don't think they've got enough. By the way, just as a side note, Fordham is in this league. They have a new head coach in Kyle Neptune, but that's all we're going to discuss about them for the entire season. So on that note,
they're in New York. They bring the New York market.
I want to run through each of you here. I ask you a series of questions. Number one, who's going to win the conference? Number two, how many teams are going to make it out of this conference? Number three, any other final thoughts about the A-10? And John, let me start with you.
I'm setting the over under at 2.5, and I'm going under with the Bonnies and Richmond. I do not think Dayton or Davidson and now St. Louis have enough to make the leap, but we'll see. I think the Bonnies take it, but I would not sleep on Richmond. They have so many good seniors. And I think that we're going to see Jacob Gilliard end up as the greatest steals guy in the history of the sport. As far as a fun fact, I think I'm going to go with Kyle Neptune, who I agree is not going to do anything this year at Fordham. He's at a school that hasn't made the tournament in 30 years, for God's sake. But he won not one, but two championships as an assistant to Jay Wright at Villanova. So given time, I think this guy might be able to turn things around or at least point them in the right direction.
All right. Matt, how about you?
So, yeah, I actually agree that I'll have two teams in. The one, Dayton, man, if you told me they had great guards and a questionable front court, I'm like, that could be a winning formula. The other way around, it's hard. You need the guard play. So I'll go with this, yeah. The Bonnies winning the league, Richmond maybe being a game or two behind. And this is one where I can see, like, the Bonnies being something like 16-2, Richmond like 15-3, 14-4. And then the next place team being 10 or 11 wins. The one interesting story I'll name is Jordan Hall at St. Joseph's, who was going to go to transfer to Texas A&M, but decided, nope, I'm going to stay home after all, go to St. Joe's. And he might be the NBA scout's favorite player in this league. And that I don't know what he's going to do to help St. Joe's win a ton of games, but one to watch, I think, on their team.
Rocco, how are you?
Yeah, I'm mostly there with Titel in terms of bids. In fact, right now I've got it at 1.5. I've got Bonnies clearly in and Richmond in a play-in game. We'll see if that shifts by next week. I'm still finalizing. But Dayton and is probably the only team I could see at this point getting in if all things break right. However, you know, my dark horse is Rhode Island. I do like this core of players defensively. The only thing I don't trust is David Cox. Honestly, he just since Hurley left, he hasn't been able to prove it. It's been a lot of disappointing seasons with Fats Russell there, a lot of talent. They just haven't done anything offensively. I think this could be a really good defensive team if somehow maybe some coaching shifts, philosophy changes, could get them over the hump. But there is an opportunity for a team like a Rhode Island in the middle to make that leap, especially with these injuries. So I'm curious to see who's gonna take that quantum leap this year.
Yeah, I'm along with all of you here. The Bonnies is the champion. Richmond in is a second team. Let's not completely forget about St. Louis. The guy like Francis Okoro coming over from Oregon, if he was supposed to be a stud, if he can turn into that, there might be ways that they could still get themselves in the picture here, even without Perkins. So let's not just write them off completely is all I'm saying. Yes. David, how about you?
Chalk as far as the committee as far as our panel goes. I have the Bonnies running away with it and being way up in on the first ballot. And I've got Richmond inside the bubble. And I don't think anybody else gets into the field. I suppose if VCU somehow gets healthy, although I don't think they will, or like you said, St. Louis, if they can basically dominate the other 11 teams in the conference and maybe steal a win from the Bonnies or Richmond and hold their own out of conference, they might be on the bubble and maybe sneak into the field. But I'm going to go with two. I guess my thought on the A-10 is that other than the Big East, it is probably the biggest basketball-centric conference. It doesn't play football. At least, I mean, there's schools in the conference that have football, but it's as a conference, it doesn't sponsor football. But it's also extremely scattershot. You have people playing basketball at all various levels and with very different levels of commitment. I know that that's kind of the case to the point with all four leagues that we're talking about today, but the idea that you have Fordham, who is barely a top 250 team ever, a team that if you were to dump them in the NEC, I don't think they would win it most years or any years, in a league with a team that could end up with a protected seed. It's just this almost feels like a cluster sometimes more than a conference.
I guess on that note, that's a perfect spot to end this league. If you were looking for the American, it is up there. Mountain West of the West Coast, it's down there. Any other conference, way up there. But this has been our Atlantic 10 preview. I'm Chad Sherwood. John Tytel to one side, David Griggs to the other. Rocco Miller from Bracktier.org and Matt Sikowski down on the bottom row there. Thanks for joining us, and we will be talking to you again real soon.